Steinhoff's dirty executives were named in Parliament yesterday, though their names weren't published in the PwC report due to European privacy laws. They had to be revealed according to South African parliamentary rules. They include, as was largely anticipated, former CEO Marcus Joester, along with insiders Dirk Schreiber, Ben Lachrangi and Stian Krobler, and ex-company secretary David Romano, with the help of outsiders Sigmar Schmidt, Alan Evans and Jean-Noël Pasquier. So Steinhoff was a giant fraudulent scheme aided by dodgy accounting and an inner core of enablers. That much we sort of knew, and much of that was revealed by the book written by Financial Mail editor Rob Rose, Steinheist, and many feel that the Viceroy report that really blew the lid on the scandal was indeed more informative than the very bland 11-page PwC executive summary that we've seen so far. Well, I've got Fraser Pearing, co-founder of Viceroy Research, on the line. Evening, Fraser. Let's start off broadly. Your thoughts on the 11-page executive summary and what it revealed?
It was very tame. The wrongdoing that can be evidenced in terms of the related parties should have been highlighted. Essentially, within the accounting standards, there are principles that should have been followed in terms of highlighting how the scheme was conducted. So far, your summary pretty much sums up the 11 pages, which, if they were to read the Viceroy report on it, would be more informative. Some of the names that you highlighted had been read within Parliament. We had also covered within our report as either being complicit or should have known about the scheme. And it seems after 18 months, that I have to question whether there's some form of negotiation in how this is going to be presented in the final report. I don't know, or some form of legal doings in the background that actually mean certain parties may actually get away with this, which seems to be some form of heist against shareholders.
And shareholders, I think, have every right to be angry at this stage, having largely footed the bill for the PwC report. And as CEO Louis Dupriez said in Parliament, there's one copy. He's got it. None of the other directors have seen it. Certainly none of the shareholders have seen it. And the media are certainly clamoring to get their hands on it. But I want to touch on another comment made by Dupriez in Parliament, that Steinhoff still plans to get to the bottom of all of the fictitious or improper deals. And while the PwC report identifies three main companies that were counterparties to Steinhoff related to those transactions being investigated, it also shows a handful of other companies involved in various transactions where there was a practice of using similar entity names, changing the names, resulting in some confusion between the entities. So he said that further work is needed to figure out the legal or beneficial ownership of some of these companies. Has Dupriez or anyone at Steinhoff ever contacted you or anyone at Viceroy to actually assist, considering that you mention a lot of detail and these other companies and structures in your original report?
No one's actually reached out. You point on a very good point that auditors appear to ignore the consensus or the views of short sellers. And there's so much more information. Our data room is extensive and may assist them, but it also may assist shareholders in understanding how they were hoodwinked. We noticed a lot of common themes. You rightly point out that the change in names and similar names was used to obfuscate what the reality was. But on the flip side, when you actually look at those external to the company, and this is what we're looking at the moment, in terms of who sponsors these companies, who the brokers are, there seems to be a scheme around not point too many fingers at people, because otherwise who is ultimately liable? Is it the sponsor for Steinhoff? I don't know the legal writ in South Africa, but you have to question those sponsoring the listing on the JSE, what are they doing in terms of diligence to make sure that these companies are actually run appropriately? Mm. It hasn't been asked within the media. It hasn't been touched on in any way. And I have to say, if we can spend 3 months running through company reports, all their own records, and highlight serious issues, as we do with other companies, and they come out and deny it and say it's lies. Are the lies actually in their own accounting and public documents that we obtain? And we obtain them legally. We don't break into property. Essentially, there's a wider remit in terms of, particularly for South Africans, there seems to be a common theme that everyone gets away with it. A few may be told off, but on the whole, the only people suffering are, sadly, South African investors in the PIC.
A very good point you raise, Fraser, around whether or not the sponsor actually carries the can here. As we know, PSG was intimately involved in the listing, and we know the relationships and the interrelationships between Steinhoff and PSG and various principals. And also, it then raises questions around the JSE's role. We had Nicky Newton-King in Parliament yesterday saying that if individuals want to hoodwink the regulator or the exchange, and they set about to set up a fraudulent scheme, then very difficult to detect that. But surely the JSE as the regulator should then be going after the sponsors in this situation, so it doesn't let the sponsors off the hook. I want to touch on another point here as well. And if you look at it, and the way one person who was close to the investigation is quoted as saying in Rob Rose's book, it seems there were about three or so basic recipes used to paint a misleading picture of the accounts. And it was repeated when it came to property transactions, branding transactions, and a few others. And what Eustad did, it seems, was to find a way to boost Steinhoff sales by creating fictitious debtors. In other words, companies that supposedly owed Steinhoff money that could then be used to create false sales and cash flow. And it seemed that Eustad set a network of companies that Telgarth and GT Branding, which you also mentioned in your report, that were theoretically independent, but actually, for all intents and purposes, were run by his accomplices, Sigmar Schmidt and Alan Evans. With all of this, there are fingers being pointed and dots to be joined with Christo Wiese's entities. Do you believe that Christo Wiese is innocent in all of this?
I struggle to see how you can be so integrated within a company as a director, as an executive, how you cannot know that Sigmar Schmidt, the way the property transactions were conducted, including Kika Liner, and the inflation in the prices, within 6 months, we'd evidenced property inflation or price inflation of somewhere in the region of 100 million euros. And yeah, you aren't questioning how, but remember, it's not like this person isn't known to him, because it's the former CEO and CFO. And you've got so many related, and it doesn't matter if they're ex. Surely there should be some form of arm's length protection for shareholders. And I'm not guilty, but all this happened and I didn't know about it. So are you guilty of not doing your job properly, or are you guilty of being complicit in the fraud? Which is it? Because you're either asleep at the wheel and just collecting your salary, or you're rubber stamping. The laugh is that the off balance sheet entity, you should have been raising questions as a director. What the hell is going on here? And this dates back to people, related parties, all the way back to Steinhoff CEO from 2001. A very elaborate scheme. And yet no one's been held accountable after 18 months. And Parliament are looking, I feel, for a key scapegoat, and it might just be one. It should be everyone that was complicit or failing in their duty. Remember this, the directors have an underlying duty to their shareholders, and that seems to be totally devoid in any of the statements so far.
Fraser, you've touched on a few very interesting and important points. Unfortunately, that's all the time that we have for tonight. We'll be following this quite closely as we see the FSCA has also said, watch this space. It's busy concluding its investigations. And we see the Hawks now getting involved as well. That was Fraser Perring, co-founder of Viceroy Research.